take it on down from Muscle Shoals through Decatur. Over Spanish Fort into Mobile, my hometown. Mr. T.
Welcome back to the Jump Force Show on Info Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Tuesday morning. We do appreciate that. 251-343-0106. Text us. You want to respond to anything you're hearing on the program. That's how you do so. Coming up on the program in about an hour, the publisher of the Trustful Tribune, Scott Butcher, will be with us. And then in the 11 o'clock hour, a good friend, he's chairman of the Alabama Republican Party, John Wall, making his weekly visit. So make sure that you stick around for that. But here on the line with us now, calling in from the from Capitol Hill, Congressman Barry Mork. He's a candidate for the Republican nomination here in the 1st Congressional District. Congressman, good morning. How are you?
Hey, Jeff. We are doing fine. How are you, sir?
Doing well. Thank you for making time and coming on the program. We'll kick it off here. Let's talk a little. Let's talk about what's going on. I guess kind of in the immediate arena in D.C. But you're on judiciary and FISA renewal, and really, what it looks like to me is you're trying to hold back a bit of this of the powers of the federal government until the Biden administration concedes on some key issues.
Yeah, I mean, the FISA is a huge issue, and we found, Jeff, just through the investigations, I'm on judiciary and Jim Jordan with chairman, we've had some hearings over the last few months and years, and just kind of, you've seen this weaponization of government. I had Jim Jordan on my town hall last month, and we talked about how they used the FISA warrants to spy on the Trump campaign. Well, we begin to do these questions about what the FBI was doing and how they got through the Fisk courts and how they actually were able to tap General Flynn's phones and the abuse Carter Page, the things that happened. We realized at that point we had to do some investigating, and the FBI has abused power. I mean, dramatically abused the power of the FISA, where they're spying on U.S. citizens up to the tune of 270,000 queries without warrants. And so we're kind of, the Judiciary Committee is trying to hold the line. We're trying to limit the powers of this government that has abused citizens, has spied on citizens. And, of course, the Intel Committee is bringing a version of the bill. But the problem with the Intel Committee is they're like, well, you know, Mike Pompeo likes this, but so does Merrick Garland like it. I mean, the same people that have abused this, and certainly the Intel Committee, they want to defend their ability to look at certain information, but they should never be able to spy on U.S. citizens without warrants. And so Judiciary Committee has a better bill. We think it's certainly a cleaner bill, and it certainly limits the power of this government that we think is certainly spying on U.S. citizens. It's abusing its power, and it's going after people who speak out against them. In any form and fashion available. And we certainly don't want to give the FBI and these agencies more power to spy on U.S. citizens. So I think the judiciary version of this renewal of the FISA warrants, that sort of thing, the power that they have with Section 702. Remember, the Patriot Act originally was set in place, and then they brought FISA along to kind of reel in the power, the abuses at that point. And now we found that the FBI, we slapped them on the wrist, and they apologized. But we cannot just trust those agencies anymore. We have to limit their power, and that's what we're in the process of doing.
Well, and like you said, you're getting pushback from some, but is this something that like what's the process here? When does Congress decide if they're going to renew some of these aspects?
So it expires in the next few weeks, and so we're actually voting on, we'll have two versions of the bill on the floor, the Intel Committee's version and Judiciary Committee, but our committee, which is Judiciary, we actually, that is in our jurisdiction. That's an area that we think we have responsibility, and most of us are House Freedom Caucus. We're very conservative, and we're tired of the government spying on U.S. citizens, and so we expect those votes to come down this week, and we'll see if we can get the Judiciary's version off the floor and up to the Senate.
Congressman, the other big topic, well, it's probably been on the minds of a lot of our listeners for a while, but impeachment, Joe Biden. And things are kind of going along steadily with Jim Comer's committee and obviously your committee with judiciary looking into some of this, this wrongdoing, alleged wrongdoing by Joe Biden. But what do you think, where are we now? Because it seemed to kind of take a back seat during the speaker ordeal. Are you kind of back on track?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think Joe Biden, we all agree, I'll certainly be voting for the impeachment inquiry to formalize it and get it started this week. And we have Hunter Biden coming in to give depositions tomorrow. Now, we're not 100% sure, Jeff, he's going to show up. We were, Jim and Jordan and those of us on judiciary were talking about it yesterday evening. And he may show up and try to plead the fifth. And so, but there is, without question, there are some concerns about Hunter Biden and Joe Biden, their connections to China, Russia, to the tune of $15 million worth of concerns. And Biden talked to his sons of business associates 22 times. And I would encourage your listeners, there's over 170 SARS reports, which are suspicious activity reports that local banks had filed concerning the Biden's banks around the country. Just ask your local banker sometime what it takes to trigger a SARS. And so there is something there, and none of us can understand how Hunter Biden, usually a person who's addicted to drugs or a crack addict or whatever, normally depletes family's resources and wealth. Hunter Biden, who is known to be using crack, is actually funding his family. That's an unusual situation. So that we have to figure out what exactly is he selling and what is the product that has put millions of dollars into the pockets of Joe Biden and family members, 10 family members. And so there are questions that need to be asked and answers that need to be had. And we found, too, through this process that the IRS, these agencies that we talk about, that we continue to fund, I say it's impossible to drain the swamp and fund it at the same time. These agencies like the IRS protected the Bidens where they would go after the Trumps. These agencies went, like IRS knocked on Matt Taibbi's door the day he testified in judiciary, saying just to intimidate him and his family. And oh, by the way, the IRS actually owed Matt Taibbi money. Taibbi was the journalist that broke the story on Twitter when all the news feeds started coming out. He was the lead journalist on that. As he was testifying in judiciary, the IRS was knocking on his door. That's to send a message to American citizens. These government agencies are doing that, whether it's the FBI spying on people, whether it's the FBI labeling pro-life Catholics, you know, going into the churches and starting to spy on them, or parents that go to school board meetings are terrorists. And so these agencies are the issue. And certainly they've been protecting the Biden family. We've got to get to the bottom of that. So I look forward to getting this formalized impeachment inquiry started.
How much does the Hunter Biden indictment interfere with Congress's investigation?
You know, it depends on the legal scholars that you'd have to ask. But I think in many ways they're saying they're doing this to protect Joe. So he can, and I don't know how that works. In other words, I think there's no doubt that these agencies who have given Hunter a pass and given Hunter a pass and given Hunter a pass, all of a sudden when we have him coming before us, they arrest him. And that tells me that they're trying to cover his tracks and they don't want to tie him to Joe Biden. But we've got canceled checks, a couple of them, that certainly tie Hunter and Joe's business dealings to China and Russia. And I think in some ways it put this nation in precarious positions with our foreign allies and adversaries as well.
Joined by Congressman Barry Moore. He represents the 2nd Congressional District. He's running in the 1st Congressional District for the Republican nomination. Congressman, let's move on to we'll get the NDAA under consideration. I know it's going through committee. That's a big one, at least for this state. Where do you think that process is?
So I think that the process is somewhat broken, in my opinion, Jeff. Just the things that we tried to strip out of the NDAA, this is the National Defense Appropriations Act. I mean, it's considered a must-pass legislation, but so many things that the House passed, you know, where we were limiting, we weren't going to pay for abortion travel for military. And if you watch the way this is set up, these sex reassignment surgeries or critical race theories that have zero to do with defending this country, and in many ways have created social experiments within the military. And I was a soldier myself, and I can tell you, man, some of these people are mentally ill. And it creates issues when you get them into the military and you start trying to do all these sex changes. And the reason they are joining is to get the sex changes, not to serve the nation and defend the country in many ways. And I found that the Department of Defense checks a lot of boxes, but often it's not the one that says qualified to do the job. And so we... this NDAA, the way that the Four Corners process, which means Schumer, Biden, Johnson, and Jeffries have kind of put a deal together to bring it back to the House. It's a 3,000-page bill that nobody's read, and it does away with all the good stuff that we put in the NDAA. You know, and listen, one of my first votes up here years ago when I first got here, Jeff, was I voted against the NDAA, and again, I had Fort Rucker in my district, which is Fort Novosel now. Max will be under part of that. My son-in-law is an Army Ranger. My brother's retired Marine, and I served. And so the problem is they poison pill these things, but they wanted to do red flag laws. They wanted veterans for their guns, the right to own guns. They wanted to start red flagging our veterans. Then they wanted to draft our daughters, things that were unheard of. And I had Republicans come to me on the floor of the House and say, well, just vote for it, and when we send it up to the Senate, we'll clean it up. And I wouldn't vote for it. I said, no, y'all clean it up first, and then we'll vote for it. So this time we send a clean version to the Senate. What'd they do? They dirty it up and send it back to us and poison pill it. And so I'm going to be a no on it. And I would imagine that these soldiers who fight for our liberty and freedom certainly don't want our veterans targeted, our daughters drafted, or to fund these sex reassignment surgeries and critical race initiatives that have nothing to do with getting in a foxhole and holding the line for the defense of this nation.
Carswell, we've got a few minutes left here. I want to kind of spend it on immigration and the border. Clearly a very untenable situation at the U.S.-Mexico border right now. And just you guys control one half of one branch of government. How far should Republicans go to force the Biden administration's hand here on doing something more proactive on the border?
As far as it takes, Jeff. I mean, these guys are wanting to send, and when I say these guys, some of our own in D.C. are wanting to send billions of dollars to Ukraine to secure a border in Eastern Europe, and we have an invasion on the U.S. southern border. And I want to encourage your listeners, tomorrow night, and you know I do these town halls, and tomorrow night I have Chick Boy coming in, and we're going to do a town hall. Jim Jordan and I did it last month on weaponization of government. There's no better on the border in Congress than Chip Roy. He helped draft the language for H.R. 2. He lives in a border state. And tomorrow night, we're going to do a town hall so people that your listeners can come on. They can call in. I can give you a number if you want. They can sign up in advance on barrymore.house.gov live. And so we're going to do about an hour and a half, hour or so just on the border. But, yeah, we need to hold the line, and there's none no better than Chip Roy talking about the specific issues in H.R. 2 that we passed out of the House that Schumer's got in the Senate. And why are we going to – the only leverage we've got on the border, my friend, is the spending in the House right now, whether it's the NDAA or whether it's Ukraine funding, whatever the case may be, we have to hold the line. The American people are fed up with millions of people pouring into this country from various nations all over, the fentanyl deaths that are killing us, and the crime that's coming, and, of course, those on the terrorist watch list that could any minute attack us that are already here. We know are here. Over 140 have gotten away. And so there are issues that I don't think – I think the border has to be one of the top issues right now in the country.
Does it trump funding for Israel and Taiwan, at least in those situations? Would you be willing to shut funding down for those two hotspots to get something on the border?
Well, we've already carved out money from the IRS that Pelosi, Schumer, and Biden passed when we were in the minority party to take care of Israel. And so these need to be standalone issues. And we don't need to let the Senate couple them together, because then they try to poison pill this stuff and say, well, you're not for Israel. That's just simply not true. Those of us who are Christians in this country, sure, I say it's as easy as 1, 2, 3, Genesis 12:3. If you bless Israel, you'll be blessed. If you curse Israel, you'll be cursed. So we're going to stand with Israel. But the fact that we're worried about trying to send money to Israel and tying that to the own U.S. southern border, those should be separate standalone issues, and everybody can vote them up or down. And there's no reason we should let them poison pill these things and try to catch us in votes that don't make sense. We have the majority in the House, as slim as it may be. We still need Speaker Johnson to hold the line on these things and keep them separate. That's what we've been saying.
Well, and you know, we talked about how far you go. I mean, how far would you take this? Would you risk a government shutdown to secure the border, to force, or maybe it's as simple as getting Mayorkas out of there? I mean, there's only, a few limited options for the House. What do you do there? How far do you take it?
But, Jeff, the leverage we have, my friend, is the money. and shutting it down. I mean, that's the leverage we have in the House. And if they know we won't shut it down, then they'll continue to poison pill this stuff. They'll continue to destroy this nation. They'll continue to send money to foreign countries and let us have an invasion on the southern border because we do not have the courage to shut it down. And when people say the government shut down, oh, that's horrible. 70% of the government's still going to function, whether we shut it down or not. But if they know, the Senate and Schumer and those guys know we don't have the steel backbone to say we will shut it down if you don't close this U.S. southern border, then they're going to continue to just push us around. At some point, these lines in the sand that we keep drawing and keep just wiping away, we've got to hold the line. And we just don't have people here sometime with the spine that it's going to take to save this nation and defend this U.S. southern border, my friend. And if we do not do that, then there's nobody to blame but us. And we've got to be willing to hold the line on the shutdown if that's what it takes to get the job done.
And last question, we'll get you out of here on this. And this is require a little bit of speculation here, but like, what is going on in the Biden administration that they would be so lax? Like, is it as simple as they came in 21 and they said, Donald Trump's doing this, so we're going to do the opposite? I don't know. It's a very like puzzling thing to see these images every day, day in and day out, and just nothing really changing.
Yeah, and I tell you that my concern is that it's some way intentional. I don't know how you just open that border and Mayorkas come to committee and judiciary and testify us and say, oh, the border's secure, we have operational control, and then the video shows thousands of people pouring across as the man's testifying. And so, you know, yeah, in some ways, I mean, I think Biden came in with, hey, I'm going to show these Trump people, I'm going to show these America First people, we're just going to stop the construction of the wall and do away with the Remain in Mexico policy and let people just pour in and apply for asylum. We're going to give them a cell phone and $800 a month, and we'll just call them when there's a court date. But also at the same time, in energy, I mean, he shut down the Keystone Pipeline day one and opened up Nord Stream 2 for Russia to start producing oil and energy. They reduced the sanctions on Iran, which created problems with funding Hamas, and then, of course, Russia invades Ukraine, and then when he wants to buy solar panels from China, everything they are doing is counterproductive to making America first and America safe. And so, man, we need to hold the line. You're talking about shutting it down. Why would we fund the IRS, who's protecting Joe Biden? Why would we fund the border agencies when all they're going to do is hire more agents to process people in rather than actually secure the U.S. southern border? Why would we fund the Department of, the Attorney General's office, the DOJ, when they're going to go after the number one political opponent of Joe Biden? When you talk about shutting the government down, what we're doing is stopping this cancer that is destroying our liberty and our freedom. And if we have to put the pressure on them and say, we're not going to fund you until you fix the issues, and there needs to be metrics to measure what is fixed, because laws don't do it every time, Jeff. We have leverage. We have leverage with funding. But you can tell that they're not enforcing the laws on the border. So another law will not fix the issue. You got to stop the flow of the money to these agencies that are weaponized against the American people.
Congressman, real quick, folks want to check out your town hall. They want to find out more about your campaign or any of that. Tell them how to do so.
Yeah, so they can go on barrymore.house.gov, my friend, and there's links for live for the town halls tomorrow night. And we do mobile office hours, so we're coming to communities around to take care of our veterans and people. We actually move our office to the people rather than forcing the people to come to us. And so, we make ourselves available.
Congressman, we appreciate your time. Look forward to hearing from you soon.
Hey, thank you, Jeff.
All right, we got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5. Getting hammered, sitting right here at the floor of family.